T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Chance to win $1,000. It is 560 WQAM signing bonus contest. Your chance to take home $1,000. Text the word honest. I like that. Honest. Honest Abe. Text the word honest to 72881 and you are registered. Text honest. H-O-N-E-S-T. Be mindful of the silent H. H-O-N-E-S-T. Text it to 72881 now. If you do not win this time, your next chance is Monday morning at 7 a.m. This is a national contest. Message and data rates may apply. Do not text or drive. So you have until the end of this hour to text the word honest to 72881. It is the Alex Donner Show here on 560 WQAM. Memorial Day weekend edition. We'll be live until 10 o'clock this evening. Yeah, I know that stay patient, those driving out there, because you're going to be stuck in the rain. You're going to be stuck in traffic. Why are you already laughing at me, Chang? Like, you just looked at me and you, is this the way you want to be my consigliere on the other side of the glass? You're going to help my show by laughing at me. What did I say there? Honestly, what did I do there that made you just burst out laughing? I don't understand.
Dude, I'm your friend here. I can't give it up.
What do you mean you can't give it up? Tell me what I did that made you chuckle at me.
If you're here to 10, I'm here to 11.
Oh, I see what you're doing. Okay. I see what you're doing over there, instigator.
By the way, a la Madrid.
We are going to talk some soccer tonight. You see that, Manny, that Dre Cordero from BN Sports is going to join this evening, 8 o'clock. We'll talk Champions League final.
Let's talk some Serie A for a little bit.
Oh, we will, because he called virtually every Serie A game on BN Sports this past year.
I'm still living the jitters and the excitement from Sunday.
That was a lot of fun. Yeah, Manny came over and wished me a good luck when I was watching Inter last Sunday. Of course, we will talk NBA conference finals tonight. Manny Navarro from the Miami Herald is going to join us. Manny is actually hosting on 790 today. He'll be joining me on QAM later because we're all in the Entercom family now. So Manny Navarro is going to join us later on. Omar Kelly is going to join us in about 15 minutes to talk some Miami Dolphins, talk some NFL. I do want to get Omar's take on the NFL's national anthem policy and how the Dolphin players are going to respond to that, how the Dolphins organization is going to handle that moving forward. If you'd like to get in, share your infinite wisdom with us via the phone lines, 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560, #560 on your cellular device, or you can always text us on the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line, but please do not text and drive. You can get us there at 56022. LeBron James tonight could be putting on the Cleveland Cavaliers uniform for the final time. Is that the expectation out there? That LeBron James, now, you know, he could be, let me add this caveat there. He could be putting on the Cleveland Cavaliers uniform at home in Cleveland for the final time, because I think there's a pretty good chance, pretty good, that even though I am going Celtics to win this series, and I know it's easy for me to say that now because they have a 3-2 lead. I've been saying that since the series began. I am going Celtics to win the series, but if you look at how good LeBron James has been in his NBA career in elimination games, facing elimination, and he's facing elimination on his home floor tonight, the stats would tell you he's got a pretty good chance of extending this series to 7 games. His Cavaliers are down 3-2 to the Celtics in the East. How does LeBron assess his situation? He said, quote, "I don't enjoy being in the position where it's you lose and go home," LeBron said before game 6 tonight in Cleveland. He might not enjoy this position, they write in NBC Sports, but he's pretty good at it. Since he first reached the playoffs back in 2006, other teams that don't have LeBron on them have won 26% of their elimination games. Not a good percentage, 26% of their elimination games. LeBron James's teams have won 57% of theirs. So that is significant. Of course, LeBron hasn't gone 12-9 in elimination games just because he's lucky. He has willed his team off the mat numerous times. LeBron has scored 40 points and had a triple-double. So he scored at least 40 points and or had a triple-double in six straight elimination games, winning five of them. So not only is he 12-9 all-time in elimination games, which is good, but even better than that, he's won four of his last five elimination games. His line in his last elimination game before that streak, just 32 points, 18 rebounds, and 9 assists, so a near triple-double. I don't think the Cavaliers will go away quietly, right? And in a game this big, at Quicken Loans Arena, you would expect J.R. Smith might hit that over today, over under 9.5 points tonight, that the role players on the Cavaliers might actually give LeBron some help this evening. I'm still holding on to the hope and the expectation that it's going to be the Boston Celtics advancing. I know for a lot of people it really scares you. If you are a Team Petty or you're a Celtics backer, the idea of hosting LeBron for a Game 7, even if it is in a very tough place to play at the TD Garden in Boston, that LeBron James is such a pro, such a veteran. He's been to so many rodeos, elimination games, Game 7s in big playoff series, that even having to host LeBron in a Game 7 for a young team like the Celtics is a tough proposition. But I really do think that that Celtics team, despite not having the star power of Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward, despite not having the guys who, before the season started, theoretically the two best players on that team, the two superstars of that team, despite not having that deep star power, the Celtics do have every other kind of depth. Bench depth, great coaching in Brad Stevens, and they have been so dominant at home throughout these playoffs, not having lost a playoff game at home yet, that even with LeBron involved in a Game 7, I would still lean towards the Celtics, and I'm leaning towards them advancing in this series. But for those who are, you know, wondering if this is going to be either tonight being the final time he ever puts on the Cavaliers uniform, or, you know, Game 7 being the final time he puts on the Cavaliers uniform if he gets there, I wonder how that would work, because I am, you know, pretty confident, 90-95% confident that LeBron James is leaving Cleveland, that he's not going to be wearing the Cavs uniform next season. You just look at the lack of help he's gotten. You look at how frustrated, how tired he's gotten. I mean, you saw him in Game 5. The man was exhausted. How physically and mentally tired he's gotten having to carry this supporting cast on his back for an entire year and through a very grueling playoff so far. I think LeBron is going to say, you know what, before my career is done, I do want to put myself in the best possible position to win more rings. And that's not in Cleveland. There may not be a perfect situation out there, because if you join the Houston Rockets, you've got to go out west, which means you still have to contend with Golden State. And, you know, if you stay east and go to Philadelphia, you know, there may certainly be some basketball adjustments that have to be made for you and Ben Simmons to fit on the same team, because Ben Simmons doesn't strike you as a guy who is going to be great off the ball, because he's such an on-the-ball player, but he's also only 21 years old. So I think there's plenty of time for him to adapt his game. But there would be basketball adjustments that would have to be made for LeBron to go anywhere else. And if he goes to Los Angeles, you know, that, you know, maybe Paul George joins him there. But that doesn't look like the type of roster, even with LeBron, that would shift the power of the West from Golden State to the Staples Center. So there may not be a perfect fit out there, but Cleveland seems like far from the perfect fit. And I found it amusing today, when I was driving into the radio station earlier this afternoon, and I hear Cleveland media guy Andy Baskin on with Hockman and Crowder, this guy is such a Cleveland apologist. You know, he was talking about, well, you know, we take a lot of calls on my radio station. I think it's 92.3 The Fan he's on in Cleveland. And, you know, gosh, a lot of people from Cleveland, they really take hope in the idea that maybe LeBron, it's so important for him to stay in Cleveland to raise his family here. It's so important for LeBron to keep his family in Cleveland. Maybe that's the best thing Cleveland has going for them. I don't think that's going to be at the top of his priority list for a number of reasons. First of all, it's not like if LeBron leaves Cleveland, he's got to sell his house. The kids have to leave schools there. He enrolled his kids in school in Cleveland even before he went back there. Like, you can keep the kids in school in Cleveland. You can keep your mansion in Cleveland. Like, we're not talking about Jimmy, who's driving on the Florida Turnpike right now, who makes 35 grand a year. And if he gets a job in another city, he's got to pack up his entire family, sell his place or break his lease and get the hell out of there and maybe never come back. You know, I don't know if the family consideration, maybe LeBron's family. How about this? Maybe his family wants him to be happy. Maybe LeBron's kids and LeBron's wife say, you know what? We'll keep the house in Cleveland. The kids will still go to school in Cleveland. It's not like you're working 365 days a year. You do have an off season. You can keep the family here. You can keep the house here. If that's the prayer that Cleveland fans have, that, well, gosh, maybe it's so important for LeBron to stay in Cleveland all year round for his family. That's what's going to keep him from moving away. I really don't think that's the top consideration in his mind. Because it's not like he's got to literally pack up his family and move. It may mean he spends more nights away from his family if he's playing home games in Los Angeles or home games in Houston or home games in Philadelphia. But, you know, I don't think that I don't think that where LeBron plays next year is going to be so dictated on that. And if that's like the top grain of hope the Cavaliers fans have, that maybe it's just so important for LeBron to keep living in Cleveland. If that's what you're, I mean, he already does have a house in Los Angeles, by the way, where he spends a lot of time. I don't think that's going to be the deciding factor in his mind. Later on this hour, I'll have my my top three weekend predictions. I think Manny Chang is going to like one of them very much. I see the grin on his face. Two of my weekend predictions, and I usually bat around 660 on this. 66% of the time, it works every time because I give you three weekend predictions every Friday. I typically get two out of three correct. I've got two basketball predictions, one pertaining to the Eastern Conference Finals, one pertaining to the West, and I have a soccer prediction. I think that's the one that may make Manny Chang a very happy man and might ruin Eric Folero's weekend. But coming up next, we'll talk Miami Dolphins with Omar Kelly from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. You're listening to the Alex Sano Show here on WQAM. And friends, I want to talk about the Quarterdeck Seafood Bar and Neighborhood Grill. So many big games going on this weekend, holiday weekend. You know, forget about going outside. Get inside the Quarterdeck, watch the big games, and watch all the big fights. Every UFC pay-per-view fight, you've got a big one coming up June 9th, UFC 225. They have every UFC pay-per-view fight for zero cover charge. You pay nothing at the door to watch a UFC pay-per-view. Flat screen, high definition TVs covering every wall. They'll turn the sound up for you. The food is delicious at the Quarterdeck. You know, I love the fresh seafood, the oysters and Maine lobster, the fresh mahi. It swims right out of the ocean onto your plate. I love the buffalo shrimp. It's crispy, it's spicy, it's delicious. The sushi is world class at the Quarterdeck. You know, the chicken ciabatta sandwich is my favorite entree with the fresh mozzarella cheese on top, the tater tots on the side, the buffalo chicken wings, the baby back ribs are tender, meat falls off the bone. Build your own burger with tons of fresh toppings. Whatever you do, though, save at least a little room for dessert, man, because the key lime cheesecake, that is the perfect way to finish every meal. And it all goes down so smooth with 2-for-1 happy hour all day, every day. That never ends. The beer is always cold, and the wine selection is impressive. If you want to find the location nearest to you and check out the menu before you go, visit quarterdeckrestaurants.com, because the Quarterdeck Seafood Bar and Neighborhood Grill is where you come for the food and stay for the fun. Yeah. Back here on the Alex Dono Show, Miami Sports Radio, 560 WQAM. Bringing our friend Omar Kelly from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Omar Kelly is brought to you by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. This is how it's done. Now, Omar, before we get to football, we have more important business to attend to. You revealed last week on the show that you follow Manny Chang on Twitter. You enjoy his witty retweets. You enjoy the unoriginal thoughts that he has. You did not follow me. You did not follow me on Twitter. In your infinite wisdom, you agreed to give me a one-week audition, which I believe expires tomorrow morning around 9 a.m. Will you be hitting the unfollow button tomorrow, or will you let it ride?
I think I'm going to let it ride.
Let it ride!
Because I didn't say I was going to let it ride for much longer, but I already have somebody in my life who gives me soccer updates, which is what Manny Chang does.
Yeah, but he gives you crap soccer. I give you a different perspective.
I don't even know the difference, though.
Oh.
See? You understand what I'm saying?
That could be a problem.
Crap out of luck, my friend.
That could be a problem, yeah.
See, now maybe if you improve your fight game analysis, or there's got to be a lane for you. I mean, the kid pictures are cute. You know, I enjoyed some of the mom's, you know, dad's babysitting. It's time for, you know, mom's away.
Time,
you know, it's party time. I did enjoy that. But as I said, it's got to be about something you bring to my life.
That
improves.
Yeah. It was a little bit slow of a fight week. I think we can bring it stronger this week.
Oh, okay. All right. See, that's what I'm expecting right there.
All right. All right. We'll let it ride for another week, Omar. We'll be on probation.
I can't promise you that once I decide that I need to cleanse my Twitter timeline, that you'll survive the cuts.
How often does the cleanse happen?
I generally probably once a month.
Okay.
Just it's just when it starts to get a little bit cluttered.
You know what I feel like right now? Like I feel like the second special team option on the Dolphins. Like when the fourth preseason game is coming around, and I'm just waiting. I'm waiting for the Turk to come by and give me the hatchet.
You're not on the active roster, so that means that you can be cut any day.
Oh,
so,
man.
You better take it week to week.
That's all I can ask for. All I can ask for is this opportunity. Omar, Dolphins make a roster move, signing center Mike Matthews, which I learned from your Twitter timeline is the son of Hall of Famer Bruce Matthews, cousin of Clay Matthews. What can he bring to this club?
Another guy to snap the ball. Considering he wasn't drafted, a three-year starter who wasn't drafted, that leads me to believe that a lot of teams, either he had some medical issues or a lot of teams just believe that he's just a guy. Considering Dolphins have a whole roster full of just a guy centers, you never know what's going to happen. I wouldn't get super excited about it. It's basically just another guy to snap the ball.
You know, you guys got to watch this week. How much? Like, there was one session on Wednesday. You got to watch a little practice, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Did anything stand out to you? Understanding, you know, I've been to OTAs and minicamp before. I get it. You're not seeing live hitting. You're not seeing regular season style football. But when it came to quarterbacks throwing passes, when it came to some of the wide receivers out there, was there anything you could take from this past week?
I think I saw, comparatively speaking, some improvement from David Fales. I definitely saw a guy who, you know, I sort of say, maybe he could be a backup quarterback in the NFL. Albert Wilson, built like a running back. That was intriguing to me for me to see. Kind of explains why they believe that he'll be better in the screen game than Miami's pass receivers were. I really didn't see anything from the tight ends that really caught my eye, but I like the fact that Marquise Gray was working pretty much in a starting role, and I'm curious to see if they'll continue that or if some young rookie hotshot will unseat him. And then I did like what I saw from the offensive line. I thought they were getting movement. I know this was practice without pads, but the protection was pretty decent and movement was there. And overall, the second and third team lines protected for their quarterback. So that showed that maybe the investment that they made in the offensive line this offseason is paying off.
Omar, what's your expectation for Laremy Tunsil at left tackle this year? I know that a lot of folks were surprised that he didn't have the best year moving to his natural position last year, looked better at guard in his rookie season. And, you know, Josh Sitton now joins him on the left side of that line at left guard. Do you expect this could be a year when we say, okay, Laremy Tunsil was worthy of that first round status?
Well, I mean, it's not hard to be worthy of first round status. I think a lot of people expected him to be elite out the gate. And I think that's a little bit unreasonable, unrealistic. I don't know. Less penalties, that's a starting point for Laremy Tunsil. I think if he can become a more consistent player, and I think he has a chance, especially with a more consistent player playing next to him, what a lot of people don't realize is that his play improved when Ted Larson was out there playing with him. So the guy playing next to you, that definitely helps you from a confidence standpoint. So I think that I don't know if I expect him to be elite, but I do expect him to be relatively good and play like a first-round pick.
Yeah, Omar, I came across, speaking of a player that we all hope steps up this year, we've been saying it for a long time, Barry Jackson wrote something today about how Chris Chambers really is trying to reach out to Devontae Parker to work with mm-hmm. him more, and that he's kind of given him the old lost my phone, who's this type of answer. He's blowing him off a little bit. Like, does this give you the impression that Devontae Parker maybe isn't working as hard to improve himself as he should be at this point?
I mean, let's think about this from a fair perspective, and I got a great deal of respect for Chris Chambers, but how many people does Devontae Parker need to mentor him? How many people do you really want in his ear?
Right. Well, and I just wonder how many people are mentoring him, because I don't know the answer to that. And yet I only, mm-hmm. and you're right, I only see Chris Chambers' perspective on this, that apparently he doesn't want Chris Chambers as a mentor, but I don't know how many mentors he has, if any.
Yeah, I don't think mentors or people coach. I mean, let's be real about Devontae Parker. I don't think coaching players, Calvin Johnson's reached out to mentor him, brought to camp to mentor him. His position coach, who's now an assistant head coach, is a former, a very good NFL wide receiver. I'm not saying that listen, the guy's a professional. He's a very talented player. I have a hard time believing that Chris Chambers is going to teach him how to stay healthy, because ultimately that's what Devontae Parker has to figure out. He's a good player. He's a good player, tons of talent. Does he need another mentor? Probably not. Not really. I really don't think mentorship is, I haven't seen it pan out and take any player to the next level. I remember when Joey Porter and Jason Taylor were mentoring Cameron Wake, and but my opinion is Cameron Wake became the player that he became because of Cameron Wake, not because of anybody mentoring him. So I have a hard time sitting here and caring about that. I got a great deal of respect for Chris Chambers. Ton of respect. There's so many different. Chambers had a guy, his former teammate, who is a wide receiver guru. There's so many guys to be in people's ear, to listen to people. Let Devontae Parker do what he needs to do and be who he needs to be. I don't care who somebody wants to mentor him.
Omar Kelly from the South Florida Sun Sentinel is with us here on 560 WQAM. I know Omar was the first time in quite a while that Raekwon McMillan addressed the media earlier this week. He's coming off a knee injury that went back to the very first snap of the first preseason game last year. That linebacking core, which, could on the field at the same time include Kiko Alonso, mm-hmm. Raekwon McMillan, his former college teammate Jerome Baker, that was just drafted by the Dolphins a couple of months back. What is the upside and downside of that linebacking core?
Boy, you just threw the rookie right in there, huh? No Stephon Anthony, no Chase Allen, Garvin, I forget his first name.
Yeah, and I know Chase Allen did. He did impress a lot of people last year, including Raekwon McMillan.
Yeah, I don't know what to think of the linebacking unit. I'm not gonna have any thoughts about them until the exhibition games begin, just because linebacker is one of those positions where if you're not taking them to the ground, you're really not doing your job, and you can't take a guy to the ground in practice. It's going to continue to be a problematic area and a problematic issue with this Dolphins team and organization, as it's been for the entire decade that I've covered this team. So, I can't sit here and tell you that the answer is magically there. What I can tell you is Raekwon McMillan's talking a good game. He looked a little bit smaller, a little bit leaner. That's a step in the right direction. Now the question is, can he play? And I can honestly tell you I have absolutely no idea.
Omar, the NFL this past week, it's been a bit of a PR nightmare. So they come out and say they have a new unanimous policy on how to handle the national unanimous policy that it turns out wasn't actually voted on. and there are clubs who are not in favor of the policy. So to call it unanimous is a bit of a stretch, but that, you know, if players are on the field, they must stand for the anthem or else stay in the locker room. Is this coming even close to solving this issue?
It's not coming close to solving the issue, but I don't really think they care. In 2 years from now, I think the NFL is looking at it from the standpoint, how can we preserve our financial gains? How can we preserve our forward momentum financially, not politically, not, you know, in terms of PR? And they really don't care what the players want or what the players are trying to achieve. That's the truth. And they could talk about how much money they're putting behind social justice issues and how much work they do in the community. But the reality is they don't care about social justice issues. That's just the truth.
Well, what do they care about? Just the bottom line? Profit?
Profit, money. These are 32 of the richest men in America, 32 of the most successful, you know, billionaires in the world, and the people that surround them that make all the decisions. And bottom line is they say that that players taking a knee is bad for business. And I can't sit here and say that I disagree with them, considering all the controversy that it's stirred up and the fact that people don't realize that people are taking a knee for social justice issues. They just look at it as, oh, you're being un-American,
right.
You're being unpatriotic, you know. And, you know, as I said earlier today when I was talking to Crowder and Hockman, you know, I believe players have taken an L on this issue because if your message is being lost, then clearly it's been hijacked. Clearly, you need to find another route or another solution to address the issues that you're trying to address.
Is there any way they can pivot that, Omar, at this point? And obviously, I know that that's kind of a tough thing just to make up an opinion on. But maybe you've heard in talking to the Kenny Stillses of the world, is there anything else they can do aside from now that the issue of taking a knee for the national anthem is not on the table anymore? Is there another way for them to keep that ball rolling and try and get that message out there?
Call an audible. Maybe NFL Players Association should say that nobody should be standing out there for to show the power of our union. Nobody should be standing out there for the anthem. Maybe they should say, okay, you want to take a stand. It's very vague in terms of what is the proper way to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance for the anthem. So maybe they should stand with the fist in the air and their head bowed like the Olympians did,
right?
When they were trying to create social awareness for the movement. There are tons of things that players can do if they choose to be creative. This is taking a knee has led to two of your top players at their position being unemployed. It's led to a president using it anytime he wants to create a distraction and rally his base. You are losing when it comes to the message that you're trying to create. It's been hijacked. How about you call an audible and come up with another game plan?
I like it. He's Omar Kelly, covers the Miami Dolphins in the NFL for the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Omar, the weather sucks this weekend. Alberto is going to skirt by our doorstep. Does that affect the weekend plans? You hitting it hard this weekend?
I wasn't hitting it hard. My friends are trying to convince me to go out. The weather's kind of discouraged me from going out. I don't know what I will do. I do know I'm hosting a morning show with Dave Hyde on Monday morning.
Nice. Yeah, Manny Chang will be here, he says.
Oh, yeah, Manny Chang will be my producer. That's excellent.
He'll read you those excellent tweets live.
Not only that, though, Alex, I do give great music for Omar as well.
Okay.
You show much appreciation.
That has me excited. That does have me excited. So that's really the only thing I've got planned. If the weather picks up, maybe I'll go out. I don't know. The fiance, which we just did a cake testing today and actually purchased a cake.
Fondant or no fondant?
So, I got fondant on the top layer.
Okay.
No, actually the bottom layer. Just one of three layers will be fondant. So we each layer is going to have a different flavor on it.
Yeah,
so,
we did that too. I think we had like three different layers. Yeah, that's a good way to go.
Yeah. So Edis Cakes hooked it up, and I will have my fondant and coconut. Coconut-flavored fondant. Coconut-flavored cake with fondant icing on the outside.
Love it. He's Omar Kelly, South Florida Sun Sentinel. Follow him on Twitter at Omar Kelly. Check out his work at sunsentinel.com. Omar, we'll talk next week, man. Thanks.
All right. Talk to you later.
Stuff there as always from Omar Kelly. I've already made a couple people mad because when I teased my weekend predictions, Manny, I gave away a little bit too much with the soccer prediction. I haven't actually given out the prediction yet, but a couple folks on Twitter already think I am burying the knife in their backs. I will give you my top three weekend predictions. Two of them NBA playoff related, one of them Champions League related. The Alex Dono Show continues next year on QAM. Was that the Real Madrid theme song? Wow. After hearing this, I'm rooting for Liverpool. Like, this sounds like they're, like, about to, like, this is the song that, like, North Korea would play when they're trying to invade South Korea.
No love for history.
How old is this song? It better be, like, 100 years old to sound this crappy.
Oh, they just invented this version a couple years back.
Couple of years back? Before the show is done, you've got 3 hours and 13 minutes. You've got to play for me the intro theme song before we're done here.
Absolutely.
Yes! That's a way better theme song than this crap. Doesn't even sound Spanish. Like, what language is that? Like, this guy...
It doesn't sound Spanish?
It doesn't sound... Like, the guy sounds German.
Our Spanish, Alex, doesn't compare to theirs. They sound like this.
I don't care what they sound like. That dude sounds like he's singing in German. Or like Swedish. Weak ass Real Madrid theme song. Couple things before.
There ain't no such thing as a weak ass Real Madrid team.
I didn't say that. I mean, they're on the cusp of winning a third straight Champions League. I did not say weak ass team. I said weak ass theme. There's a difference. Listen.
I'm sorry. I'm getting a little bit over myself.
Get the wax out of your ears over there. Before we get to the top three, a couple things. This just came across the Sportsplex news desk. A Derek Jeter rookie card was sold Friday for a modern-day baseball record of, Manny, do you want to guess how much the Derek Jeter rookie card was sold for?
$89 million.
I shouldn't have asked you. That's way off. $99,100.
Oh, I read the amount of zeros wrong. Oops.
Way off. But, okay, so... No one I'm guessing like probably like a Babe Ruth rookie card if you were to come across that, like a Mickey Mantle, like those, because they're so much older, so much more historic, would cost more. So Derek Jeter's rookie card from 1993 is a record for modern day baseball players, sold for $99,100. According to ESPN.com's Darren Revelle, a buyer identified as Adrian Proietti bid the winning amount on eBay through an auction overseen by PWCC. The 1993 Upper Deck card, which features a foil design, is reportedly a perfect 10 on the PSA DNA grading scale. Wow, it seems like whatever technology they used to come up with that could probably be better used at, like, curing cancer or somebody. Okay, but according to Rovell, there are only 22 of those specific Jeter rookie cards that have received a grade of 10. The card is one of several high-profile collectibles that have fetched close to or more than six figures over the past 2 years. In October of 2016, a signed LeBron James Upper Deck rookie card set a modern-day record, regardless of sport, which the autograph helped that, I'm sure, when it sold for $312,000. So I got to ask, and you know that I'm not a big collectible guy. Manny Chang collects bobbleheads, which is like a whole, like, that's kind of a different hobby than collecting baseball cards.
And but, paying $99,000, you know, that's
right?
Just insanity.
That's what I want to know. Like, why is the only reason why you do that? Because you think I'm going to get this while the price is lower, because this is a modern day player, right? Like, I'm getting a great deal on a 1993 rookie card for one of the more iconic players ever at just under $100,000. So maybe in 20 years, I resell it for five or six times that. Like, is that why you do this? Or do you pay $100,000 for a Derek Jeter rookie card because you're such a geek with disposable income, you just decide you want it in your house? Like, I would love to know more information about this guy, this Adrian Poietti. Like, what his logic is? Does he just want? Is he such a big Derek Jeter fan? He's got to have this in his house, or is this a business move? Because I would imagine, since they say this is a record for a modern day baseball player, that probably means 20, 30 years down the road, the card would be worth way more. So I guess I can respect the hustle if it's a business move. If this guy is just such a geek that he paid $100,000 for a baseball card, then I can't respect it as much. All right, it is time, friends, for my top three. Top three on Fridays, you know how we do it. My top three weekend predictions.
It's time for the three most important things you'll hear today. Alex Dono's top three on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
First prediction. I felt like these three weekend predictions were kind of easy for me because I feel pretty strongly about these three things happening. I got to tell you. Here's number one. For the first time since May of 2010, we will have an NBA Finals slate set without LeBron James involved. No LeBron James in the NBA Finals for the first time since May of 2010. As I predict, the Boston Celtics will be headed to the Finals. And we're going to have to be gritting our teeth through this thing because I think it's going to come down to a Sunday afternoon Game 7. I don't think they get it tonight. I hope I'm wrong about this part of it. I don't think Boston gets it done tonight in Cleveland. I think LeBron will have another vintage performance facing elimination. But then Sunday in Boston, back at the TD Garden, I think the series ends that night. And so when you listen to WQAM on Monday, when you hear Omar Kelly and Dave Hyde, who will be filling in for Joe Rose Monday morning, 6 a.m., they will be talking about the Boston Celtics, young team, overachieving team, getting past LeBron James, punching their ticket to the NBA Finals. That will be something you will hear on this radio station on Monday. I feel strongly about that prediction. But also on Monday, this is prediction number two. We still will not have a representative from the Western Conference. We will all be talking about Warriors and Rockets preparing for Game 7 if necessary. That will take place on Monday evening. And it will be necessary. It's obvious to me it will be necessary because how bittersweet is it to be a Houston Rockets fan today? Your team just stunned the Warriors to take a 3-2 series lead. And then hours later, you find out, by the way, no Chris Paul in Game 6. I mean, that is bittersweet. Like, you deal a tough blow. First time since Kevin Durant has been a Golden State Warrior, they're facing elimination in a series. You deal them the tough blow of winning Game 5 in a great performance by CP3, great performance by Eric Gordon as well, who is going to be CP3's understudy now, starting in Game 6. But you deal Golden State a tough blow, taking a 3-2 lead, and then it's revealed hamstring strain. Chris Paul will not play in Game 6, and it seems like he's not going to play Game 7 once we get there either, because they announced so quickly that he's out for Game 6. I know he's going to just traveling with the team. They're going to reevaluate the injury, but I don't think that they would rule him out that quickly if this was something he can recover from by Monday. So I think you can say adios to Chris Paul playing again in this series, which means you can also say adios to any chance Houston has of getting by Golden State. Golden State will win tomorrow, and then we will be talking about a Game 7 on Monday. We will have a representative from the Eastern Conference. We will not have a representative from the West until Monday evening. Prediction number three. Manny, you ready for this one? You want to give me some more of that communist Real Madrid theme song before we get into this? Look, it sounds like Joseph Stalin wrote this theme song. Prediction number three, Real Madrid will hoist another trophy on Sunday. And you know I'm not a fan of theirs. Manny Chang is a huge fan. But I give you respect, Manny. You will be hoisting your third straight Champions League trophy.
For a total of 13 in representation of Dan Marino.
Ah, look at that. You're bringing it back to the greatest of all time. Here's how it's going to go down. Real Madrid will win 3-2 tomorrow afternoon. So says I. 3-2, Real Madrid will beat Liverpool. And Manny, you helped me with the goal scores, and I appreciate that. Obviously, Cristiano Ronaldo. I could have. It didn't take a rocket scientist to figure that one out. Gareth Bale will also score. Isco will score. Those will be the three goals for Real Madrid. And I provided the prediction for Liverpool. Falero, if you're listening, at least your boy Mo Salah is going to play well. I think he scores a double. So Salah for Liverpool twice, but it will not be enough to defeat Real Madrid. So, Manny, I gave you the three goal scorers. Who gets the game-winning goal? Well, let's say the game is tied 2-2, 75th, 80th minute. Who gets the game winner?
Gareth Bale as his final game dressed in the all-white.
There you go.
And I believe Isco is also on his way out as well.
There you go. So how about
and Ronaldo,
that?
Who knows about him if he even comes back as well, too. So there you go.
Possibly your team's going to suck next year is what you're telling
me. Well, I think what people seem to forget is this. Yes, Real Madrid have won the last, three Champions Leagues in the last 4 years. This will be three in a row if they win tomorrow. There hasn't been major signings since 2014 with Gareth Bale. Okay? The team has kept it together with the same players. If they added pieces, it was for small amounts, small contracts. I mean, which other club can possibly say we didn't go out and spend $90 million on Coutinho and, you know, $85 million on Dembele like Barcelona or like Manchester United?
Or $3 trillion on Neymar like PSG did.
Well, there you go. So I think in some sense you got to give Real Madrid some credit where they've kept their core players and what started this whole run. And if they win tomorrow, awesome, great. And if they don't, it'll be a very disappointing season. But, yeah, we have, you know, as Real Madrid fans are spoiled, man. I'm telling you.
They've been
spoiled in the last, 5-6 years. So they won tomorrow, great. But, you know, people have to realize that this team has been basically the same squad for a long time.
You don't have to tell me how spoiled you are. I'm celebrating a fourth place finish in Serie A and first Champions League in 7 years. You don't have to tell me how spoiled you are, bro.
Baby steps, my man. Baby steps. And that will open the cash bank for you guys to go out there to get players. And hopefully Zanetti is a major guy to bring some of those young stars from South America to Inter again.
Lautaro Martinez. Zanetti was influential in that.
That is an absolute great start. Because if you look at those teams, Militos have, you know, he has blood of Argentina. And Inter has always had the Argentina pipeline, and it's been some time in where, you know, they haven't been able to go after those type of, you know, of those golden, you know, small treasures that are in South America that go through the Inter system. And I think Zanetti gets it. They have to go back to what gets them, you know, trophies and what gets them to the top of Europe soccer once again.
Hopefully a Champions League final for my team in a couple of years, maybe next year. Texter writes in, Dono, you're my boy, but you're too much of a Team Petty fanboy for me to believe the Celtics will knock off LeBron James. Ye of little faith? You think I'm too biased? But hasn't the way the series has gone, plus how dominant Boston has been on their home floor, how little help LeBron James has gotten, if you are believing that LeBron James is going to bring his team back, this team back down 3-2, you probably also believe in the Easter Bunny. You probably also believe in the Tooth Fairy. You believe in Santa Claus. I think you are believing in a fantasy because for as great as LeBron James is, for great as he's been for the last 15 years, for getting to 7 straight NBA finals and winning 3 of those, for as awesome as LeBron James might be as a basketball player, I believe he has too little help this time. You know, he literally cannot do everything. He can do 75-80%. But I think to win 2 out of the next 2 against Boston, he's got to do 99%. And I think it's finally catching up with LeBron James. 7 o'clock hour of the Alex Dono Show coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.